All right. Brothers and sisters, around this time, 150 years ago, the United States Congress ratified the 13th Amendment, which we know did not give us political and economic freedom, but gave us a degree of physical freedom. This December of 2015 will mark our 150th year since the official close of slavery. So this year, we must engage in some very deep reflection because we have to ask ourselves a very important question. And that question is simply this. After 150 years since the close of physical slavery, can we use the excuse that the white man is the only reason for why we haven't made more progress? We have to look in the mirror and be honest and ask ourselves, despite all he has done, and of course he is the number one enemy of African people in progress, but is he alone to blame for why we are not much better off now than we were 150 years ago? And if the European is not exclusively to blame for our predicament, then who else is to blame? We have to understand something, brothers and sisters. In order for there to be an oppressor, there must be an oppressed person who is participating in his condition. In order for there to be an enslaver, there must be someone who is enslaved who is participating in the condition. So as much as we talk about white supremacy, we have to look at the black complicity in our situation. And I'm saying this now because I don't want another 150 years to pass and for us to still be in the same situation because we don't want to look in the mirror and acknowledge that most of us are as white as our oppressors are. To acknowledge that most of us are infected with the same gene of Europeanism that our oppressors have. It's one thing for another person to oppress you, but it's something altogether different when you participate in your own oppression because you're too comfortable to do something about what you're going through. Now, brothers and sisters, and I say this respectfully, we have to analyze this movement that we refer to as the conscious community. We got to take a deep look at this because as I look, and I can speak on it, I'm the most requested speaker in the conscious community. I can speak on it. But I'm afraid, though, that we might have walked out of the church and left the Bible behind and walked into consciousness and picked up conscious text, but the hustling spirit of the church came right with us into black consciousness. In other words, I'm wondering whether or not we are just as guilty as a T.D. Jakes. I'm wondering whether or not we're just as guilty as a Creflo Dollar. I'm wondering whether or not the conscious community is actually emulating the exact same people who they claim to despise. I got to say this because as we go into the new year, everything has to be under analysis. I look at how a second ago, a lot of our sisters didn't even feel comfortable enough to demand a seat. There's something wrong when a black woman don't even feel that I'm worthy of sitting down while so many black men sit. And that's not the fault of the brothers necessarily, but there's something going on in the community where we don't really feel like community no more. Brothers and sisters, we always talk about once upon a time we used to look out for each other. We used to talk about once upon a time how the next door neighbor could punish me if I didn't do what I was supposed to do. But once upon a time, we were a community. The problem with once upon a time is that the European, with our support, has engineered a process by which most black people live their lives under a philosophy of radical individualism. I think we practice radical individualism more than the Jew. I think we practice radical individualism more than the Anglo-Saxon. I think we practice radical individualism more than any of the other groups who we claim to hate so much. We talk black, but that's the easy part. We dress black, but that's the easy part. We study black, but that's the easy part. I think some of us have gotten comfortable with the cultural Halloween costumes we wear. I think that some of us think that because I burn my incense and because I wear my shea butter, and I think because some of us have been to Africa and read some books and took some trips, because we've gained a degree of knowledge and information, we think that transforms us from slave to free man. Well, I got news for you, brothers and sisters. Information does not cease to make you a slave. Knowledge of your history alone is not sufficient to replace slavery. I'm a student of 19th century black history. And when you study a lot of our enslaved ancestors, you will find that they knew exactly who they were. You will find that a lot of them knew African language. You will find that some of them had knowledge of classical African civilization that would rival almost any scholar we have today. They were not all ignorant, but yet and still they remain enslaved. So then, if information does not transfer you out of slavery, what does? If reading the books doesn't stop your servitude, what does? If knowing where you come from doesn't change the relationship between you and white people, what does? And the answer to that question is power. We suffer what we suffer because we are not organizing and utilizing our power. The relationship between black people and white people is based on a power dynamic, just like the relationship between a man and a woman is based on a power dynamic. The relationship between a parent and a child, a boss and an employee, is a power dynamic. So if the information doesn't stop the slavery, and power does. And power is normally wielded through, yielded through institutions. As long as African people own no institutions, you will always be a damn slave. I want to be clear. Because some of us have gotten so comfortable with the culture that it's become another religion. Some of us have gotten so cold comfortable with the information that it's become another vehicle of escapism. Not in a spirit now. See, There's nothing wrong with the culture. We need it. It's who we are. There's nothing wrong with the spirituality. We need it. Nothing wrong with the stones and the healing and all the things we do. We need it. But please don't mistake it for freedom. And what I see black people doing is, rather than overcoming white supremacy, we are succumbing to white supremacy by simply making it more comfortable to exist within it. Brothers and sisters, all we did is what the church did, and that is, don't transform your reality, just make it a little bit more bearable. I would argue to you right now that most of us as African people, and I'm speaking globally, most of us don't have a problem with white folk. We don't have a problem with white supremacy. We don't have a problem with white racism. No, we don't. Because when people really have a problem with how they're being treated, they do something about it. Which is why I argue we don't have a conscious community per se. We have a learned community. Because once one truly becomes conscious, behavior follows that awakening. So if you claim to be conscious and you ain't done shit to change your situation, but let me go a little bit further. When people come in for therapy, right? I'm a therapist. People come to therapy, they're conscious that they're alcoholic. They're conscious they're on crack. They're conscious they're depressed. They're conscious they're anxious. They're conscious they have bipolar. They're conscious of their anxiety problems. But just don't mean that you're sick. Don't mean a damn thing unless you're going to transform the sickness. Are y'all following me now? So when we say we are conscious, are we bragging about the fact we know we're sick, we know about the sickness, but we don't care enough about it to do something about it? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. around your neck. The world's around your neck. The body moves, I feel them in the moon.
corpses lie around your bellowing presence.